Okay. Thank you, kids. It's been great having you. But it'll be quieter when they're in there. Yeah? We love our kids, don't we? Just like we had a silent disco last night, didn't we? I have to say, I've never been to a disco and it felt so weird. I worked with kids and there was a disco and I didn't need paracetamol at the end of the evening. It was awesome. Thank you, Kev. Kev organised that. Bob on Kev, it was brilliant. Great. Yeah, shout out to Kev. Okay, I want to read Psalm 139 for you. Okay, now I'm going to read this, all of it. So don't switch off. Okay, I want you to stay with me. I know it might feel like a long psalm, but you need to listen. You got your listening ears on? That's what you used to say in school. So you got your listening ears on? You ready? So 139 says, "You have searched me, O God, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. Wow. And you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Wow. This is good stuff, guys. Yeah. "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." Wow, the darkness is gone. Whee, I love it. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." You know, I love that. I used to say years ago, "You knit me together. God, you dropped some stitches." But you know what? God smacked me. He says, "Liz, stop it. I knit you in your mother's womb. I dropped nothing." Yeah, he's dropped nothing with you. And I think somebody needs to hear that this morning. God has dropped no stitches when he knit you together. You are perfect. You are beautiful in his sight. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you." Now, I'm a twin. Yeah, I know that's a scary thought. Yeah, I'm a twin. And you know what? My mum didn't know she was having twins till the night before she had us. Yeah, she'd had some funny kicks. She says, "No, there were strange kicks at the back and that was a bit odd for her." She didn't know those two of us. So just a bit of a shock. But you know what? God knew. God knew there were two of us. Yeah, so right in there, he knew. My frame wasn't hidden from him, even in that secret place. So at the beginning of my life, I wasn't hidden from him. And I'm not hidden from him now. "When I was woven together," so my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. "When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body." Nurses missed it. Yeah, God knew though. "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Have you woken up this morning? He's still with you then, isn't he? If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me. Away, you bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Feels a bit different, that, doesn't it? That little bit just feels a bit different. And then he comes back. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me in my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That psalm could radically change your life if you let it. Do you believe me? You can encourage me this morning, guys. It's okay. Yeah, bit of encouragement's fine. I think this psalm gives a picture of a God who sees everything. There is nothing hidden. Absolutely nothing. So in your life, there is nothing hidden from God. Now, I don't know about you, but that scares me a little bit. Really? Okay. But God knows and sees everything. It also shows to me that there's a real intimacy that we can have with God. God wants to be intimate. He knows your inner workings. He knows you. He wants to be close to you. He can't go anywhere without him being there. He wants to be intimate with us. Now, in that verses 18 to 24, when he went off on one a bit, yeah, we never go off on one, do we? Yeah, maybe. And then when he started to get a bit cross, they speak of you with evil intent, those adversaries misuse your name. You were a bit cross, weren't you? Yeah, have you ever been cross? No, you're all good, aren't you? Yeah, he was really cross. And actually, it's quite justified. Yeah, they were speaking bad of God. He got cross because it felt justified. But actually, very quickly, he changed. He changed from focusing on what was going off over there or over there or what was going off at him. He changed his focus. And where did he change his focus? Actually, in one sense, not to God. His focus was, God, search me. Look at me. Search me, God, and know my heart. Say that to yourself now. Search me, God, know my heart. Look at your neighbour, tell him, let God search you. Go on, let God search you. Let him search you. So he shifts from his enemies to his inner self. That's a really big shift. And I want to say to you, that's a shift that we have to make. That's an absolute life skill. Yeah. Never mind a biblical principle. It's a life skill. We need to learn to switch from what's going off over there to search me, oh God, and know my heart. Whatever's going off in here, God, help me. Search me. Look at me. Yeah, I'm not interested in that stuff that's going off. Yeah. That whatever. And I'm sure you lots have got a lot of whatevers going off. Yeah. God says, stuff the whatevers. Yeah? Let go. God, search me. Search me, oh God. Yeah. So he moved from kill them. Didn't they? Kill them to search me. Yeah. How many times do we say, oh God, I've had enough of them. I've had enough of that. We move from that to God. Search me. Now that's quite a jump.
Yeah.
And that's quite a jump for any of us. And I've heard it said, you know, nothing changes until I do. God wants to do something in us. And I think that's what David was saying in there. Nothing changes until I change.
Yes.
Until I let God do. until I let God see, then things can change. I can't keep looking at the stuff around me. If I keep looking sometimes at that stuff around me, I want to tell you now, I would be probably at home. Yeah? Maybe some of you would be. Maybe some of you would still be under that duvet because of the stuff. But we choose not to look at that stuff, and we choose to come in here into the presence of God with our Christian friends who love us and encourage us and support us. And we choose to say right here, right now, God, search me and know my heart.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to chuck you some mental health statistics, okay? So don't switch off because I've said that word statistics, okay? 1 in 4 of the people in the UK will experience a mental health problem each year. So 1 in 4 people every year are going to have a mental health problem. That means a problem. That means it's not necessarily a long-term thing. This is something that they're going to possibly go through, maybe in a short space of time, but will go through something. Okay? They reckon that 5.9 people in 100 have generalized anxiety disorder. So 6% have generalized disorder. Over 3% have depression. This is just in the UK. Over 2% have phobias. 1.3% have OCD. Now, I know we all joke about OCD, and I know I joke about OCD because I do like things lined up. Yeah, there are things that I like. But OCD is far more than that. OCD is when, if it's not lined up, it stresses you. Now, if things aren't lined up, I can handle it. I'm not going to let it do me head in. But for somebody with OCD, that will be really problematic.
Yes.
Okay, so just a little understanding. 0.5% have panic disorder. And then nearly 5% have post-traumatic stress disorder. And 8% almost have mixed anxiety and depression. So based on that, I would say most of us in this room are dealing with something. Most of us in this room have had anxiety, depression. We've had to work through stuff. Yeah, so that's what the statistics say. My general thoughts are that it's probably right. So most of us in here. Now, those statistics were taken for people in private housing. So that's where those statistics came from. So I reckon those statistics are flawed dramatically, and that those figures are probably dramatically higher. Dramatically. So I come back to David. See, I reckon David is bipolar. I'm not a doctor, but you look at him through the Psalms, he's up. And when he's up, he's up. And when he's down, he's down. Yeah, he really does move through those emotions. Yeah, so you know what? We're talking about a man who understands anxiety. He understands the pain of that. So it's really interesting that he realizes that what's happening inside of him is the cause of his anxiety. David's clicked that. He knows that he's got to deal with what's in here to sort out what's happening around. Now, I'm not talking about chemical imbalance bits because I'm not a doctor. I don't always get that. Some people do have a chemical imbalance which will cause problems. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some of us that we need to make sure that we don't have a landing strip for anxiety.
Yes.
Some of us switch the landing light on and say, come here, anxiety. This is where you can land. I want to help you to not switch that light on. Okay? It says in the Hebrew, when it was in the psalm, it says, The word for thoughts is translated as disquieting thoughts. So something that disquiets us, something that upsets us, something that churns our stomach a little bit. Yeah? And I want to say it's those thoughts that causes anxiety. I don't know about you, but I have those thoughts. I'm human. I have those thoughts that come in, but it's what I do with them that counts. If we think something long enough, it will become a landing strip. Do you get me? Do you believe me? If you think something long enough, but do you know, I want to say to you, it said in there, God is watching out for you. He's watching out for you. Oh, you can be a little bit more excited than that. God is watching out for you. He's watching over you. He's looking out for you. He thinks, wow, I'm going to look after you. Yeah. I want to keep you safe. I want to love you. I want to protect you. I want to keep you right. God's doing all of that. So why do we get anxious? Why do we get anxious if God is looking after us? Amen. Why? Now, you see, I don't think it's a problem to be anxious, because we are sometimes. I do think it's a problem when we stay anxious. When we stay anxious. Let's not stay anxious. That anxiety is the bit when you can't enjoy anything. You stop enjoying the things that you like doing. You can't do things. So even when things are going really well, you're going to think a worst case scenario. Even when things are going really well, you think, oh, but what if? Oh, but that might happen. And it destroys what's happening. It destroys the good stuff that's happening. So I want to say, sometimes when we are anxious, we're living in the past. That happened before. That was said to me before. Yeah? And then sometimes we're living in the future. But what if it goes wrong? What if they do? What if? So I'm saying anxiety is living in the past or the future. God wants you to live now.
Yes. Amen.
Right now. And right now, God's looking after you. Yeah. God's keeping his eye on you. God's got his arms ready to wrap around you. Yeah? That's where God wants you to live. So I want to say, if we want to move in the freedom that God's got for us, we've got to check our intake levels.
Yeah.
And I want you to remember the word intake. Say to each other, intake. Intake. That's the word I want you to remember this morning. Intake. Okay. I just want to demonstrate something to you. This is a phone. Anybody got one?
Yeah,
amazing, these phones, aren't they? Okay, whoops, mine's a bit poorly, and I am ready for an upgrade, but there we go. Now this phone, awesome device, can do so much, help in so many ways. Lots of information. Oh, that's my message from Sarah. Oh, hang on a minute, just let me check. Oh no, that's what I sent to Matt. Oh, Daniel sent me a message. Oh, just a minute. Sorry guys, just hang on a second. Yeah, because this is quite important. Okay, it's Facebook. I need to check Facebook, okay? Oh, I've got 6 notifications. Oh, Catherine, thank you. It's the party reminder. Yeah, okay. Oh, and LifeSpring's got a message as well. Okay. Awesome tool. Keeps us in touch. But I want to say to you, there's a really special button on this. Yeah. There we go on the side. But hold it. Oh, it says slide. To power off. Okay? Now, I know this might be an old phone, but I'm pretty sure some of the new phones have the same facility. Off. How many of you switch it off? Oh, well done, Sheila. Good on you. We don't, do we? How rubbish are we at switching off our phones? I want to say to you, we cannot carry the conversations of the whole world in our heads. Is that what we're doing? Yeah. Buzz. Oh, notification. Buzz. Oh, I need to check that. Buzz. Oh, it's Facebook. Buzz. Oh, it's going to rain. Buzz. 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 The devil has got a shotgun in your back pocket and he's firing it to you all the time. Are you ready to switch that shotgun off? It's pulling you away. The intake, yeah, that you get from your phone, we need to switch it off. With all of that information, all that knowledge, all that stuff going in our heads, we are not designed for it. We're designed for our relationships that are around us.
Amen.
We're not designed to take all that stuff from wherever in the world. How many of you have got friends from abroad on Facebook that you haven't got a clue who they are? While it's awesome in a sense, God doesn't design us to take on board all of that. He wants you to have relationships, friendships. That's what he wants, because that will make a difference. If you are praying for the peace of God and your mind is full, where can he put it? If your mind is full of this, full of the world, full of Candy Crush, full of Facebook, WhatsApp, whatever, and I've got some statistics. I want to say, you know, you come to church, you have what, 30-minute sermon? Thereabouts? Yeah, it's more than enough, you say. Yeah, 30-minute sermon. But that is being laid on top of 17 hours of media that you've had that week. Media that's designed to hardwire how you think. Media that is designed to distract you. Media that is designed to make you think differently, behave differently. Or is that just me? So you get 30 minutes of the Word of God on a Sunday and then you lay it on top of all this stuff. How's that going to make a difference? I want to say to you that your intake needs to be different. Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take in all your rubbish, all the stuff that's telling you to think differently, behave differently, do stuff. Yes, you must have that thing, the eBay thing is going. You need to stop the rubbish. Now, I'm not banning phones, but what I'm saying is you need... No, good try. You don't use yours anyway. We need to consider the garbage, the rubbish that's coming in from the media. And I'm not just talking about phones, I'm talking about your telly. What are you watching? Your radio? What are you listening to? All that stuff that comes in, we need to consider, because some of that stuff makes us feel dark. Some of that stuff pulls us down. Some of that stuff upsets us because we want it or can't have it. Or because, well, that's what my family should be like. Or because that's what it should be. Oh, and I'm rubbish because I can't. So I want you to think about what comes in. But you need to decide, does this help me? Does what I'm doing, does what I'm watching, does what I'm reading, thinking, hearing help me? You decide. So, you know, what we don't take in actually is just as fatal as what we do take in. So if we are trying to survive on a 30-minute sermon every week, that's not going to feed your faith. And I believe you all here have faith, but it's not the faith it should be. It could be bigger. It could be stronger. It could be more powerful. But it isn't, because you're living on 30 minutes over 17 hours. Oh, is this a bit challenging now? If I was to say to you, well, let me say, when I go on a diet, which happens regularly, I started on Monday, yeah? So on Monday, I kept my... Was it Tuesday? Was it Tuesday? No, finish on Tuesday. No. So this lovely diet, so after chocolate cake for lunch and homemade bread for tea, yeah, it didn't last very long. But sometimes they tell you when you do a diet, keep a food diary, keep a log of what you're eating. Because if you want to change, you need to know what you're doing. Yeah? Does that make sense? Has anybody ever done that? Or is that just, yeah? Okay, so we keep a log, keep a log. I would say to you, do you ever wonder what your thought, that one, what you thought, what your thought log might look like? Ooh, if you kept a thought log, what might that look like? We need to deal with our thoughts, our thought processes. Thought in, prayed out. So if something comes in that's not right, pray it out. If something that comes in that's right, thank God. Yeah, we need to do something. I've got loads of apps on my phone, Bible apps. Yeah, so I've got Bible apps on my phone and on my iPad and on my computer. But these apps, these Bible apps, have zero, I'm going to say, calorie value. They have zero faith-building value if I don't use them. So it looks awesome. You've got all these apps on your phone, these Bible apps, these whatever. But if you don't use them, absolute waste of time. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to build your faith. They're not going to build your faith. So what we have to do is check our intake. Check your intake. Turn to somebody. Check your intake. Check your intake. Check it. Check it daily. Not your food intake. Or your sugar levels. Yeah. But as well as checking our intake, we have to check imbalance. Another I, so imbalance. So I'm not talking about the chemical imbalance bit. When you don't have a sense of what's important in your life, when you don't have a sense of what's a priority in your life, everything seems urgent. Yeah? So when you don't understand priorities, when you don't know what's important, everything is going to come pushing at you and will be urgent. I don't know about you, but when something's urgent, I get stressed and I get anxious. But if I learn to prioritise, because if I don't do that, I'm at everybody's beck and call. Everybody's demands. And everybody's demands take up equal space in my life because I'm not prioritising them. And I want to say, you know, by saying yes, no disrespect, to people that actually don't really matter. So if you say yes to them, you're saying no to the people that do matter. It becomes an automatic no, doesn't it? So you've got to be balanced in what you give weight to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes.
You've got to be balanced in what you give weight to. Your resource is limited in a sense. So you have to look after your resource and prioritize who you are, what you're doing, so that you do and care for the people that God has entrusted to you. God has called you to look after a certain group of people, a certain situation. God's called you to those things. You are pulled left, right and center. You will not do what God's called you to do. You'll be stretched too thin. So I want to say to you, we need to be balanced. Sometimes we're giving weight to the wrong words. We're giving weight to the wrong words that people say. We could become stressed because we haven't learned to give the right things the right way. There may be people out there that don't like you. Honest. Oops. There might be people out there that don't like you. There might be people out there that tell you they don't like you. But you know what? So what? So what? It happens. It does. I know. Yeah. If I've people tell me, Liz, I don't like you, you remind me of the auntie so-and-so and I don't like her, so I don't like you. Yeah. So there is... So what? I don't need other people to validate me.
Amen.
I think maybe some of you need to say that.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't need other people to validate me. God has chosen you. He's looking after you. He's caring for you. He's got his eyes on you.
Amen.
I don't need anybody else to validate who I am.
Yeah.
And do you know when people speak bad about church?
Yeah.
Because we know it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, people speak bad about church. So what?
Yeah.
I know that this place is filled with the presence of God every Sunday.
Amen.
That this place is filled with people who love God, who are called by God, by people who are worshipping God. And I know that the presence of God is here. So when people say, oh, I don't like that church at Life Spring, it's a bit, ooh, Life Spring this, Life Spring. You know what? So what? This place is awesome.
Amen.
I won't be anywhere else on a Sunday morning. Anybody else with me on that?
Yeah.
So you know, sometimes... I'm going to give you a statistic here. 99.99999997. Very, very precise, that one. Percent of the stuff that you worry about. Absolutely. God says, stop worrying. I've got it sorted. God's got it sorted. When you take time to give weight to the right stuff. The right stuff is the promises of God.
Amen.
The right stuff is the God, stuff that God's spoken to you. The right stuff is what he says in his words. That's the right stuff. That's the stuff we give weight to. If we have a sense of priority in life, it's okay if people get angry with me. Yeah? So what? So what? Does it matter? Yeah, it don't matter. It really don't matter if I've got my priorities right. So Christ is the solid rock. How about you? But I like a solid rock. But if you don't get your balance right, you end up on the edge. I don't like being on the edge. That makes me anxious. You become on the edge when you listen to the wrong stuff. You become on the edge when you don't listen to what God says.
Yeah.
You end up on the edge when you're not prioritizing what God wants you to prioritize. So we need to start prioritizing so that we can stand balanced, solid. Doesn't matter what people think. Yeah, really. It really doesn't matter. Do you believe me?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you really believe me? It doesn't matter. We need to hear that a bit more. Some things it doesn't matter. David was so right. He said, search me, O God. So let's stop focusing on. Let's stop focusing. Let's start focusing on what matters. What matters is that I keep my faith.
Amen.
That matters. That's a priority. What matters is that I keep a grateful attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That I thank God.
Amen.
That I thank people around me. What matters is that I don't let my situation contaminate my spirit. I refuse to let that situation contaminate what God's got in here. So this matters. That's where we should be prioritizing. And until you sort that out, doesn't matter where you live, it doesn't matter what you do, you will be, you'll live in constant imprisonment in your own indecision. So I'm telling you, you need to be decisive. You need to make some decisions. There are people here this morning that need to make some decisions. I don't know what they are, but I just know there are people who need to make some decisions. So I want to challenge you procrastinators out there. Yeah, as might you call it, put it on the long finger is the Irish phrase. You that pop it on the back burner. I want to challenge you this week. Get your caffeine intakes up. Sit down for 20 minutes and make 3 decisions. Oh, make your decisions. Do it. You might make some wrong ones. You can apologise afterwards. But God wants you to do something. Well, you've all gone very quiet now. But in making decisions, we start to get stuff back into balance because we start to say yes to things or no to things. We start to change. So shall we all practice? There's a really special word that begins with N and ends in O. Okay, it's okay to say no. Make your decision. And it's actually okay to say yes. But you have to decide. You have to decide, does this matter? What's the most important thing? But you know what? That only works if you're living with integrity. Making decisions only work if you're living with integrity. So that means, are you living right? If you're trying to hide your phone from your husband or your wife, you don't want your mum and dad to see what you're up to, if you're totally different at work to what you are at church, that's not living with integrity. I tell you what, if I'd got lots of different me's like that, so I was me at work, me at home, me at whatever, me on Friday night, if I was all those different me's, I'd find that pretty hard to manage, because at some point, the wrong me is going to come out at the wrong place.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah. God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to live with integrity.
Yeah.
I have to be the highest version of me that I can become.
Yeah.
Whatever that highest means. But I'm only going to do that if I make some decisions, make some choices. And if I realise and take hold of the fact that God has called me. God has called you. God has chosen me. He's chosen you. He's chosen you. And I can be secure because he's looking out for me. I want to be a secure me, not living in anxiety.
Amen.
You know, David got it right. He said, God, search me and know my heart. So just for a moment, just as we finish, I want you to close your eyes. God, search me. Search me, God. God, I want to be the highest version of me that I can be. Forgive me. Forgive me for when I've not walked in integrity. Forgive me when I've worn different masks in different places. God, forgive me. God, I choose to look inside. I choose to think about the stuff that I take in, the stuff that makes me feel dark, the stuff that pulls me down, the things that harm me. God, I want to move from kill them to search me. Help me deal with my intake. Help me switch my phone off, the telly off, the computer off. Help me, God, to get a sense of your priorities. Your priorities for my life. Help me check that I'm walking in a balanced way, that I've got a sense of priority in my life, that I listen to the right stuff, that I say, don't matter. Yeah, it really doesn't matter, some of that stuff. Let me let go. Help me, God, to make sure that I realize that my faith is my top priority. My faith in you cannot, will not be compromised. Thank you, God, because I want to keep a grateful attitude. I know it's important to you. You ask us to be grateful, to sing your praises. And Lord, protect me. I know you're looking out for me. I don't want situations to contaminate the spirit you put within me. So help me, Lord, as I make decisions about priorities this week. When I sit down with that cup of coffee for those 20 minutes, help me, God, to make good decisions. Hallelujah. So God, search me. Know my heart. Hallelujah. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting, God. In your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Liz. Some very...
finished, yeah.
Yeah.
There, isn't there?